psalm. Song number one. So we have a new project, a couple new projects as a church. First one is very easy. If you are behind a school bus, don't get angry. Don't get mad. It's like, oh man, I got to wait. These flashing lights and all that. You know, or they're actually going the speed limit. Those kind of things. So look at the number on the bus. A lot of times it's under 150. And so go to that psalm, not when you're driving, maybe the person that's with you or whatever, obviously. But look up that psalm. And if you're stopped, obviously, the red lights, you can look it up quick. Have that Bible handy. And look up what that psalm is. So that's the school bus psalm is one project. I've been doing that for a couple of years now, and it's actually pretty cool. I like doing that. And now the next one is more involved. This takes more seeking of God. This isn't just random school buses coming around. But this is a song for everyone. This is called, this project, a song for everyone. So you have a psalm somewhere in here. There's a song for you. And Psalm 40 actually talks about that, that God has given you a new song. So I want that new song to become apparent to you. Holly, you're here today. This is part of the thing that was prophesied for you about that song will be coming up during the times that you need it. So be in prayer for that, not just for yourself, but for others in your life. The people that you've been praying for, ask God, I want a song for them, and start believing that new song for them. And instead of worrying, shift that 90% of worry and 10% of prayer to 90% of believing in prayer and 10% of worry. I know we're human beings. There's always going to be a little bit of something in there that's of the flesh, but we shouldn't be 90%, you know, in the worry and 90% in the filling in the blanks and just being in derision and confusion and stomach turning over and over. We should be in the 90% of believing and standing, and 100% ideally would be great. But I'll just be real this morning. You know, we got the flesh still here and it needs to be crucified. But let's move in the direction anyway of believing for our people in our lives, our family members, our church members. And you can have just like a football jersey on you. You can wear it if you want. Maybe somebody in here want to make the jerseys up, but we'll have the number on it, you know, if you want to go that far. But pick out a psalm for other people as well. And if you want to make your song known, you can go ahead and do that. I've got a few to start us out. My particular psalm, well, let's get into the teaching this morning, and I'll share that later. Psalm 1. We bridged from the book of John. We just finished the book of John last week. And we bridged from Jesus saying, follow me, to Peter, to Psalm number 1, which tells us what not to follow. And we're going to now bridge that into Ephesians, which tells us what to follow. So Psalm 1 gives us the do nots and a little bit of the do's, but Ephesians really brings us into the fullness of what that do is. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scornful. Three things there, three verbs you can think of: sitting, standing, and walking. Ephesians presents these very three actions as well through the six chapters that are in Ephesians. It breaks those out in great detail. It's a great study, so I encourage you to be in that this past week. And if you haven't, we're going to be there anyway. If you have, you're going to have just the extra power going into that. But blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of ungodly. So you're going to hear the nots and you're going to hear the do's as well. Not in the counsel of ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law does he meditate day and night. Last week we had a Sunday night. There was the evangelical outreach there. Harvest America, it was called. And that particular guy that did the teaching there was somebody I knew very well because I had a car accident. Not an accident, but the gospel hit me really hard when I was on the road, and he was actually on the radio. This is a long time ago, many decades ago. Instead of crashing, because my eyes were so watery, I pulled over to the side of the road and just gave it all to God. I had given my heart over to God, but that was another time in my life where I can point where more territory was definitely yielded over to the Lord. And ever since that point, Psalm 1, verse 2 has been my reality, is delighting myself in the law of the Lord, constantly in teachings and hearing the word of God. I'm not so much of a reader. I'll read a little bit and then I'm gone. You know, a couple of verses like, okay, I'm gonna read this chapter or this book. It doesn't work for me. I'll read a couple of verses and then I'm just off on that wherever God takes me. And it just like I fall through a beautiful chasm there into his beautiful freedom there, whatever. It's opening up and God has me learning one particular thing. So I've tried to like listen to his word on audio where it's just continually playing. And Gretchen can do that really well. I'm just like, wait a minute, please just stop, pause it, and rewind. You know, it's just like too much. You know, I'm overwhelmed, so I can't do that. I can't just like through it. I got to really take those little bits by bits. And that's why God has raised teachers and pastors up, because they're to rightly divide. They're to break it up. And we're to read it, pause, chew on it, meditate on it, and see the life spring out of it. It's living. It's powerful. So I love to hear teachings. If I'm going to listen to someone teach, I don't want to hear their opinion. I want to hear somebody that's teaching the Word of God, and they're going through it line by line, and they're breaking it up, and they're rightly dividing it. So that's what I've been doing since that car accident a long time ago, pulling over on the road. So very cool. Meditating day and night. Sometimes I'll have the earbuds in at night. I'll wake up at 2 a.m, you know, and just keep going with the Word of God, constantly saturating myself in it. What do you mean, Paul? You don't just pray a quick prayer and then you're good for the rest of your life? Maybe you are. I got to constantly be by this water. And my roots got to be in this water. And that's what the promise is talking about here in verse 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit. What's the water? It's his word. You know, I've got to be constantly by that water. I like to take a glass of water next to my bed at night. You know, I constantly love water. I love the water of the word. I feel very dry when I'm away from it. And here's the promise that there's going to be fruit coming from the water. There's going to be fruit when you plant yourself by the water of God. Do I need less of his water and less of his word as I go forward? Does that stream just get narrower and narrower? No, it's a torrent. It's a torrent if you'll allow it to become that torrent of living water. And as much as we get out of the way, as much as we remove self, deny self, and acknowledge him, it becomes that torrent in our life. And the promise of the fruit will come to pass. It will come to pass. The fruit will come to pass. Don't do it on your timetable. Well, I gave God 6 days. I gave him 6 months. I gave him... God will do things in his time. He'll bring the fruit in his time. He will do it. He will do it. If it helped to say that for an hour up here, I would do that. You guys would shoot me, but that point needs to be understood. It's not our timetable. It's his. You will bring forth. This is a promise of God coming, dropping out of heaven as the dew would drop right now upon your head, upon your understanding, upon your body, that you will bring forth fruit in season, in his time. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. That is powerful. That is wonderful. That's the promise of God. And the comparison is the ungodly. Now, and this is a song. It's also poetic. And poetry and song is different than what we understand in our culture, where we have rhyme and rhythm. This is kind of comparing ideas. So a lot of the beauty of the song and the organization of it is by comparison of thought. So you'll see a comparison here in Proverbs, you see it in Psalms, you see it in Job even, the story of a man suffering. That's a poetical book, which is right to the left there. The ungodly are not so, here's the comparison, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. It's crazy, I'm reading a song right now, maybe I should sing it, right? Wouldn't it be weird if Gretchen read words to you, and then I got up and sang the sermon? Anybody want that? Let's try that one Sunday and see how it works. I already know that won't. But I am reading a song this morning. Just wanted to make that point clear. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff of the wind drives away. So what's the difference? What's this? We all suffer. We all go through it. We all die, you know, and we all have things happen in our life, and we experience some heavy things. What's the difference? Why go through this? And why follow Jesus? What's the carrot on the end of the stick? Well, bearing fruit is there. Prospering in your way and not being like the wind. It's just chaff. Chaff is that part of the wheat that's the outer casing. So you have the seed, you have the good stuff of the grain, and then you have the outer casing, and that dries and blows away. And when they are threshing the grain, they would you know, strike it against the floor, the rock, and the chaff would, they throw it up in the air as well, and the wind would take the chaff away. So they understood this concept. They had a good visual picture of what I don't want to be. I don't want to be like that chaff that just blows away. And that's my whole life, is just something that just, it was just wind. I sowed to the wind, I reaped the whirlwind, is another verse to think about. The ungodly are not so. And sometimes we think of the ungodly as somebody that is doing all the naughty things, and they swear and they do all this, and not necessarily. It'd be a highly, highly educated person that talks well and is dressed well, and they do not believe in God at all. They are ungodly. They are the center of their universe. They believe, I am the intelligence of the universe, and this is all by accident, all of that. That's some of the ungodly that are certainly around us. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. That's the promise for the ungodly. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners stand, implication, in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Iman. Two contrasts there. So we're going to elaborate. We're going to give more detail on that by going into Ephesians and talking about this law that we're to meditate on day and night. Is it the Ten Commandments? No, it's the fulfillment of the Ten Commandments. So I should say, yes, it is the Ten Commandments, but it's the fulfillment of the Ten Commandments happening inside of me and you by the presence of the perfect one, Jesus Christ. That's so powerful and awesome. Let's look at Ephesians there and do some comparisons today. So flip to your right quite a bit there. Let's say that's about an inch and a quarter. Thinking about getting one of those portable air conditioners, because this is a chimney that goes right up. I've been talking to Mandy about that a few times, and we can maybe cool it down in there a little bit. It does get a little bit stuffy in here. Appreciate you suffering through with it. So let's break out this in contrasting. We've heard that do not stand, do not sit, do not walk with these ungodly people, ungodly ways. And now let's listen to the do. Where do we sit down? If I'm not going to sit with those guys or those ways, where do I sit? Am I just wandering? I'm going to sit. According to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Verses 1 through 10 of chapter 2 is a synopsis. That's a digest of where we sit. That's the scoop. That's the review of where Seth sits, where I sit, where Terry sits, where Dan sits, where all of us are to sit as Christian believers. We don't sit in different places. We all sit in the same place. So after I give the digest, then we're going to go into the detail, which is in actually chapter 1. So I'm going to go a little backwards here. And you hath he quickened, or made alive, that were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit now that works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation or conduct in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's where we sat before. We sat as a child of wrath with children of wrath, the ungodly. But God, it's all over the Bible. But God, it's all over your life. But God, Paul Myers was going in this one direction. But God sent an intervention, sent an angel, sent a message through the radio, caused a car accident, call it a car accident, but caused the gospel to hit me on the way to work. What's your story? What's the but God in your life? But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love where he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ, made us alive with Jesus. By grace you are saved, has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's where we're all seated. This isn't musical chairs where we're running around a room and we take turns sitting here. We're all seated here. We're all sitting in this place that God has prepared, that Jesus has prepared. What a chair it is. What a place to sit. You got lazy boys and you got recliners. You got your favorite chair. Make this your favorite chair. Make this your favorite chair, the one that Christ built for you. Man, and there is no comfort, there is no rest that you will experience on this earth like the chair that God has built for you to sit in. You are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. What a chair. Sit in it. The invitation is there. The comparison is like a reception at a wedding I've referred to many times. The seat is there for you. You don't bring your own, you know, you can imagine that, you know, Uncle Weirdo comes in, everybody's got one, right? And bring. What are you doing? Bringing your own chair? Everything, we got everything. No, I want to bring my chair, you know. And he's got his plate, and he's got his sack lunch with him, you know. And it's like, wait a minute, everything's been done. Everything's been prepared, Uncle. You know, and just sit down. No, I'll sit outside here in my own, you know. If it sounds familiar, it should. Because that's the flesh, that's our way. We resist that rest that God has invited us to. I'll do it my way. I'm self-sufficient. I don't need. Yeah, I've been there. I need that living water more and more and more. And when I sin, and I do, it's quick. The Holy Spirit is right there. It's like, Paul, that wasn't right at all. And I'm like, crushed. And he lifts me up. That's okay, Paul. We're going to move forward. We're going to go forward. You're not going to hell. You're okay. You can keep walking. One step on the left foot. Okay. Right foot. All right. You can move now. Love that song from Switchfoot, right? Move. They played Sunday night last night. Come on. Move. Move. Don't be stuck. But first, we've got to sit. We've got to sit in the place that's been prepared for us. And it isn't a progression of things. I don't want to just say that's what it's all about. First we sit and then we walk and then we stand and all of that. It's not a progression. It's not a this, then, and all of this. All of these things are happening all the time for a believer. You're always seated. You're always sitting with Christ. And you're always walking. And you're always standing. So they're all interplaying. But there is an order of how they need to flow. We first need to be seated. We first need to sit with him. Gretchen's not here to correct my bad English. But we need to sit with him. He has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, in verse 7, this is chapter 2 of Ephesians, and at the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. You are a trophy of his grace. The trophy room of God. I love that. I love that. That he hunted for us and he captured us. Not with guns and shoot us or anything like that. He captured us with his grace, it says in Romans chapter 1. What a lovely way to be captured. Because in that capturing, I find freedom. I'm not caught at all. He set me free to be who I am to be, who I was always intended to be, a child of God. He's restored my original purpose. Amen. For by grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourselves. Nothing of yourselves. Even the good things that you did need to be crucified. Do you know that? Even that one good thing I did in my life. I bought a Raggedy Ann doll for my sister when I was 9 years old. I thought I was a saint. I thought the Pope was going to call me on the phone and say, that's it, we're going to make him a saint. Saint Paul. And start building brick churches with pointy steeples on. Even that needs to be crucified because it's filthy diapers compared to his righteousness. We don't want to hang on to filthy diapers. Praise God for rubber that's left on the road for Mark's business. It keeps going forward as those things happen. The tires get laid right on the road there. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. But even, why would I hang on to that? That raggedy end, man, that was, you know, yeah, I need Christ for this little thing in my life that I had a sin issue that you got to, you know, take care of that. But I'm pretty strong over here. No, even my strength is weakness compared to his. I need to have that crucified, and in the course of that crucified, my I be a sin, and all of it crucified for me to experience the fullness of joy and the abundant life that he's promised. Otherwise, I am disabled in the kingdom of God. Otherwise, I'm a Corinthian believer, a baby believer, still crawling around, needing binkies, whatever they call them, and all that stuff. Not of works, lest any man should boast. If you don't realize that pride could sneak up you on, it can happen anytime. Pride could sneak up on you, and all of a sudden you're in pride, and then you're caught up in a sin. You get angry, you lose, you lie, you do something, and you just trace that back. It's like, how did that, and somewhere pride got in there. Pride is always that thing that precedes sin. It gets in there, and then we sin. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. You are his workmanship. Man, Gretchen read about the creation. He's created all these things. But you know, the apple of his eye, do you know what the big deal is? All of that stuff was in 6 days. I mean, he could have done it in 6 seconds. It doesn't matter, you know. What he's been working on from Genesis to Revelation over the millennia is you. You are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has ordained that we should walk in them. There is no mystery. You don't have to figure it out. He has a calling. He has a purpose for you. So that's the digest of where we're seated. That's the synopsis. That's the overview. Let's dig in. Let's take a look at this in chapter 1. And all of the details of the digest here have the word has. It's already been done. So that seat has been prepared for you at the reception. You simply need to sit down. And you know, we walk around the table, and is that my table? And looking for the, whoa, I got a name. My name's right there, and it's associated with a seat. What does that feel like when you see that? It feels good. There's somebody thought of you, and I've got a place. I've got a place to sit. So you're going to see has. So you can underline that in chapter 1, because these has, or you know, has been done, is all applying to the seat that God has created for you, this place of rest that we're to be seated in. The first one is in verse 3 there. Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So number 1, we're going to have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 of them. I'm going to go quick. You're just going to underline. You can take notes, whatever you want. Blessed be the God who has blessed us. It's already done. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. You're going to sit down, not to an empty table, not to a table. What's something gross to eat? What's your unfavorite food? Liver? Anything else?
Pig's feet.
Tuna. Tuna without mayo. That was, Maddie was trying to eat that yesterday. I was like, oh, man, this is real.
Pork chop.
Okay. This is all spiritual blessings. You're sitting down and it's like miles of fruit and watermelon and blueberries that are ripe, peaches that are actually ripe and don't taste like glue. They're beautiful food for miles. All spiritual blessings. Wait a minute. I've got that candy bar in my pocket. No. Leave that. Let it be crucified. Enjoy what God has prepared for you. Don't reach for the things of the flesh. Look ahead. Look up. Keep your eyes lifted up. Not the things of earth, but the things of heaven. They're so much better and more satisfying. You need to sit down and simply enjoy them. So we've been blessed, number one, by all spiritual blessings. They've been prepared for us. In verse 4, he has chosen us. There's another has. He has chosen us before the foundation of the world, even before the first pine tree, the first creepy crawler, he has chosen you. So I have been chosen. Now you can imagine yourself, you can go there in the spirit even, sit down in this chair. In fact, I'd invite you, that's called an invitation to be saved. I'd invite you to sit in this chair, it's your salvation. You're going to sit right down and rest in this and believe that Jesus Christ did these things for you. Yeah, I am blessed. Thank you, Lord Jesus, and all spiritual blessings. You chose me. You chose me before everything was created. You just feel yourself sinking in to that comfort and that rest of Christ. That's salvation? Yes, it is. From that wandering, the nail-biting, wandering, sit down and rest in Him. Number 3 is in verse 5. Having predestined us unto the adoption of children. Can you imagine having your name on the table there? It says Paul Myers. That's pretty cool. But then it says Paul Myers, brother of the bride or father of the bride or something of that. Now I've got an identity to go with. There's something there. I have a belonging. I'm included in something. I'm just not some random person sitting here. I'm a child. I've been adopted into the beloved. Predestined us, He has done this, into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. Verse 6, to the praise, glory of His grace, where He has made us accepted in the Beloved. That's a place of rest. You've been accepted. Get up out of that chair. No, restless legs. Sit, relax. Allow grace to settle you down. Allow His grace to settle you down. We're squirmers. We are. We're squirmers. We're sitting there and relax, and what happens? Poop! Little thought comes in the head, and you start, wait a minute, what are you sitting in? I'm sitting in the blood of Christ, His finished work. He chose me before the foundations of the world. He has a calling for my life. He's got it all mapped out. He's the author and finisher of my faith. What was I thinking about? What was I trying to engineer? What was I trying to fill in the blanks for? I'm just going to rest in that. Then all of a sudden, whoa, wait a minute. You want me to pray that particular word over that person? All of a sudden, you're working in the divine now. You're working in the spiritual. Things are going to move. Mountains are going to move. Fruit's going to happen. He's predestined us to be children. He's accepted us. We can rest in that. And tied with that one is we've been redeemed by His blood. That's in verse 7. Those two go together, verse 6 and 7. Accepted and been redeemed in the blood. That's your acceptance. His blood is your acceptance. That's the proof right there. I believe that your blood makes me accepted. Thank you, Jesus. That's an invitation. If you haven't believed that, it's an invitation for you right now to believe that. In verse 8, we got two more here. He has abounded towards us. All wisdom and prudence or understanding. Thank you for that, God. Thank you so much for that. That's the one I need to sit in regularly. 1:9. Having made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He has purposed in Himself. So 8 and 9 kind of go together. He has abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence. You see that in James chapter 1. That He wants to pour on us and lavish us with wisdom. If we'd sit still, if we'd rest in that chair, He'd be glad to speak to us. But if we're running around nail-biting, we're not going to hear God. We're not going to hear Him. We're off running and worrying. There's so much confusion and cloud. Rest in here and listen. Having made known to us the mystery of His will. So those two are linked together. So those are the details of the seat that has been fashioned for you and me. Yeah, we're not to sit with the scorners and the mockers. And that, I don't even like that attitude anymore. I find it very hard to be around, you know. The mocking spirit and the scorning and just the unthankfulness. Let's take a look at Timothy in there. 2 Timothy. It tells us not to sit in this place. Second Timothy chapter 3. In the last days there will be perilous times. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. covetousness, boasters and proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. I mean, that's that scornful, just irritated and mad about everything and anybody. Always complaining about everybody. That's hard to sit in that chair anymore. That's the old chair. Or to sit with people that are still in that chair. It's hard to. I want to encourage them to come sit in this chair that's been fashioned by Christ. There's more to that. 2 Timothy, let's keep going with a few minutes we have left here. Back in Ephesians. Now that we're sitting, we can walk. And it's like, not because we did sit, now we're going to walk. It's because we are sitting that we're able to walk. Sounds like a wheelchair, Paul. Well, if you want to think of it that way, great. A power wheelchair powered by God, and you're moving. The idea with walking is that you're moving in the calling that God has done for you. And just to parallel these things back to Peter, where we had our diving board into Psalms with, is Peter is going to sit in this love that God, he was captured in Jesus' grace when Peter said, "You love me," three times. He restored Peter. Remember that? He was being captured, recaptured into the grace of God, so Peter was able to sit in that. And now Peter is able to walk in the feed my sheep. That is his calling. So Peter will walk forward now, feeding his sheep, being a teacher of God's grace, and now walking in that. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. If we start walking, number two is not going to happen there. All lowliness and meekness and longsuffering and forbearing one another in love is not going to happen. And that's legalism, and you'll have legalistic people, legalistic groups. They're not sitting. It's all about walking. It's just get you walking. Got to get serving. And a bunch of Marthas running around, and there's no Mary happening. Both are supposed to be happening in reality. But if you don't have that Mary happening, if you don't have that sitting at the feet of Jesus in that right position, then the serving's going to be bitter. It's going to look like Martha's. It's going to be, it's going to sound like an old engine just cranking all the time. So with all lowliness and meekness, that doesn't come from me. That comes from sitting in a pool of blood that says, "Paul, I love you." And I start squirming and it just holds me down. It holds me down in that place of rest. "Paul, I love you. I love you too, Jesus. I love you, Lord God." And sometimes that's all I can say. Because there's so much going on. Just push through the jungle with just two words. "I love you, God. I love you. Love you, Lord. I love you too, Paul." And now I'm back in a place of sitting, and now I can walk forward from there. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. He's created you for good works. That's where we branched off there in verse 10 of chapter 2. We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And from that sitting, we are able to walk in that. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So if you have an illustration of a high-powered wheelchair, that's fine. And we gave a testimony of someone that uses one last week in the power that he just learning to walk again, and how he relates that to his walk in faith with Chuck Jr. with last week's teaching there. So certainly a great illustration to think about. Our moving is also being seated at the same time. In fact, there was one of those viral videos, like, somebody had souped up a wheelchair, and it was actually passing people on the highway, you know, muscle cars and stuff. And here's the guy. I don't know, maybe some of you have seen that one. I'm the only Facebook person. Okay. Yeah, we can pass the muscle cars of man in a wheelchair. Is the point. the illustration is when we are completely leaning, as Terry shared from Proverbs 3, when we're completely leaning with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our strength, we're leaning on Jesus, man, that we are going to fly. There is nothing that is going to compare. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. So this is our life. Jesus is our way, truth, and life. And his way and truth bring us into this life. His way is the cross. His truth is that we are sinful creatures, and also that we are created to be his children. And that way and truth we are seated and brings us into this life, our walk. Our walk is our calling. For Peter, it was feed my sheep. And the resources of that is the love that he had for Christ. And lastly, believe it or not, is standing. Each one of these presents challenges. This one is the hardest. This is the one where it doesn't make sense. Nothing makes sense. All the five senses tell you, your touch, taste, feel, everything, every motion in you, everything is screaming one direction. And this is where you stand. This is where you stand. Because you've been seated, because you're walking, now you're able to stand. And for Peter's life, this was in two words, follow me. Jan shared some of that. She's not here with us today, last week. But to simply to follow him, to have that hope, no matter what, to have that hope in Jesus Christ. But that's a stand. That follow me is a stand. I'm going to follow Jesus, even though it doesn't make sense right now. Even though I've heard this and I've heard that and this is happening and everything is falling apart. Just as Job says, I'm not going to curse God. Naked I came into this world. Naked I'm going to depart. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm going to go forward with God. Even though he slays me, Job said, I will praise him. I'm going to follow God. That's a stand. We've been doing this for 10 years where we, at the beginning of service, that's the only thing that we do that is mechanical or ritual, I guess, whatever you want to call. I used to do a lot of that in the Catholic, was a lot of the kneeling and a lot of the motion kind of stuff. But that's one thing we do because I want to make sure to do one thing that and make a point with that is that we're standing for truth. We're standing for truth. I'm going to follow Jesus the rest of my life. So that's the standing that Peter would find himself in. But it's empowered in the command of God to Peter, the word specifically spoken to him. So we see that in 6:14 of Ephesians. Stand therefore. There's a lot that goes before that. Chapter 1, 2, 3, 4. Sitting, all of that stuff before that can be connected to this. Therefore, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, breastplate of righteousness, all the equipment of God, the armor of light around you. Stand therefore. Not run, not hide, but stand. Stand. And sometimes this is a very lonely place, the standing. You need to stand on the promise that God has given you. And here comes our project with the Psalms, is that I want you to know the new song that God has for you. I will show you my particular one just to get us started in this. And that would be Psalm 131. So we're going to be back to the Psalms. We might continue right through the Psalms. I'm still not absolutely sure about that, but we'll see how it goes. It seems like he's developing something. God is developing something for our body in the psalm. So we'll keep moving here. Psalm 131. It's a huge psalm of three verses there. That's my particular song. But before we talk about that, we'll look at Psalm 40, which God gave me for Simeon. And that actually talks about a new song. verse 3 of chapter 40, Psalm 40. And he has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. So this new song is going to be part of your testimony. Psalm 40 was given to me powerfully while seeking the Lord for Simeon. And it's happened with other people as well. So when doubt comes, the fiery dart comes, and every person, place, and thing speaks against it, I stand right here. I stand right here for him. When I'm feeling a certain way, I stand in Psalm 131 for me. And let's take a look at that. This is my struggle, and I've shared with you before. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. It's getting elevated to the place where I have to engineer and I have to fill in the blanks and I have to solve the problem. No, I don't. I have to fight and stand in this. Surely I have behaved myself and quieted myself as a child. You can imagine Pastor Paul sitting now like a little kid, sitting in the graces of God. You have done this many times. This is the place where I stand in this sitting. If that makes sense. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever. It's a quieting down. And I need to stand in that quite often. Mark shared Psalm 139 last night. Beautiful one. And you can have more than one person on a psalm here, so don't get all like, oh, that's my song. We could have 20 people on this one. I don't know if we got 20 people on this one song here. Thou hast searched me and known me. So not only praying for people in this song project, but believing for them. Because we slip off the rock. We forget who we were. We get wandering. We get nervous. We get up off that chair that we're supposed to be seated in. And we need our brothers and sisters in Christ to believe for us. Even though they're wandering, God, I'm going to believe because I'm connected to them. That's my brother and sister. I'm going to believe for them right now. That the Lord has searched and known Mark. His down sitting and his uprising. You understand his thoughts afar off. You've surrounded him in his lying down. You're acquainted with all his ways. So I can stand in something. And this is the cool part. God was showing me this and it was like really popping. It was really cool, you know, that his word doesn't return void. His word, you know, we think of it as like, I'm gonna put this word out there and maybe it'll work. No, this word is solid. It's pure. It's right. I'm going to put this out there into that void. The void will conform to the word. Just as in Genesis 1, it's right from the beginning. It's been going forward the same thing. That his word brooded over. There was a formless void. All of this earth was a formless void. And he spoke his word. And then it took shape and purpose. That's how it happens. You can think of puzzle pieces, all these songs and all of the Bible, all this word. Puzzle pieces waiting to go into that spot, that void, and to fill it. So let's believe it that way. Let's believe the word in that way for each other, in this psalm project in particular. But in this, the whole gamut of his word, please. Think of his word now moving as a puzzle piece into a void, and it will fill that void. You hear that in the New Testament, his word needs to be fulfilled. It must needs that his word come to pass. All of these things, it's that word filling a void. It has to. It's seeking that void. It's seeking that place to fill. Let's rise in our strength. Let's believe with the fullness of our hearts, these things. Thank you, Jesus, Christ, for our gathering today. It's plenty warm in here. Our minds are drifting a little bit, probably because of it. A little stuffy, but I thank you, Lord, for entreating us with these things. I pray your Holy Spirit now brings them to bear, sets them into motion in our life. I thank you, Father God, that you've ordained each one of us to be here today, and it's by no accident. I pray for that man that was out there this morning, Lord Jesus, just looking for butts on the street, cigarette butts, Lord Jesus Christ, that he would, the love that was expressed to him, Lord Jesus, would sink deeper into him. I pray for transformation. I ask for you to agree with me right now for that man. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Probably a dad that has lost his way on this Father's Day. And just a very lonely time. And just brought me to tears coming back in here thinking of that. The disconnect that can happen. The cooling off and the sadness that can happen on this earth is overwhelming to think about. So I want to believe for that man, Lord God. And I want to believe your word right now into that void. Thank you, Jesus Christ, that your word will be fulfilled in his life, Lord. That he is seated in heavenly places. I believe that for him, Lord. I believe the void will conform to the word, not the other way around. Thank you, Jesus Christ. I praise you, Lord. Remember to enjoy the day and delight yourself in the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah.